Take your Bible this morning. We're going to we're studying the characteristic of believers, and at this point, we're talking about the needs of prayer, the needs of prayer. And we're going to go. You can turn, if you would, to let's see what our first. I guess 1 Timothy chapter 2. We can probably turn there. I just want to, I better do that while I'm thinking of it. This week, the doctor has me kind of with my leg propped up. I had some last job I came off of. I don't know what happened. Last couple of jobs, crawled around on the floor too much, I guess, on a cement floor for several days. And then being a painter, I do a lot of taping off and then working the last job, a third floor, up and down, all these things. But anyway, my leg got kind of out of whack. But I got to watch the Pope as he resigned and left, and all the pomp and circumstance. I even watched the Catholic Channel for a while, and it's amazing. These people worship him. I mean, tears, and it's just amazing. They worship him as their God. It's frightening. But I did watch also some interviews. They did an interview with Cardinal Dolan, who used to be the bishop here in Milwaukee, and then now he's, I guess, in New York, but he was then made a cardinal, and the Pope picks the cardinals. Now, I learned that because there has been some bad popes in history. There was one that a family called the Borgias. Now, if you were laid up like me, you would watch some of this. The Borgias in history, and I don't know how long ago this was, they bought a family member in with the cardinals. They paid him off where they would elect him pope, and he became the pope. After he became the pope, they had people that wanted to become cardinals, so they paid him, and he would systematically poison the cardinals and kill them so they could become cardinals. And it was interesting, but they said during these times of these evil popes was when all the artwork was painted in the Vatican and all these things, because, of course, at the time they also had a big, they owned all the land and they taxed the people to death. And so all the money they brought in, they bought art. I mean, they did all that during the time of the evil popery situation. But anyway, it was interesting. They asked some questions, and this Timothy Dolan was interviewed. And number one, they asked him about the sex scandal in the Catholic Church. And I thought this was interesting because it appears that Hillary Clinton has started something. Because when he was asked about it, he said, yes, it's terrible. And then they said, well, you know, in Milwaukee, there was a terrible thing with the sex scandal. He said, but I wasn't there when that happened. So he tried to remove himself from that. But then he said this. He said, well, you know, well, I guess the issue was they didn't want to name names of priests. Instead of naming them, they would switch them to other places, and they switched them to a lot of minority areas. And in California, it was in areas where Latinos were. They would take these priests that actually were guilty and put them in places to just cover them up. But he said, well, we have named those names now. We've taken care of that, so we really shouldn't dwell on that anymore because we now have such a good record. People are using us as a model how to take care of those things. And I thought, my goodness, that's... And so he was basically saying, that doesn't matter anymore because now we're doing things right. And then also he said this, there's always been scandals in the church, and there always will be, so we really shouldn't worry about it. That's sad. That's very sad. But what they asked him was this, and I just wanted to share this with you. They said, what should be considered when a new pope is chosen. What are the most important things? And he said, number one, that a pope ought to have a thorough knowledge of the... Did they say this? No, they didn't say this. Not a thorough knowledge of the Bible. What the Bible teaches, what God says, a thorough knowledge of the church traditions. Which means then we just carry on all the false teachings and the apostate ways we've been doing. He better know all those ways. And I thought, you know, well, that's a sad situation there completely. But I thought that was interesting. And I know that Brother Richards is up preaching in a church that's looking for a pastor in Manitowoc, church that this church has helped out in the past. And I know that, I trust that when they're looking for a new pastor, they're looking for a pastor that doesn't know the church traditions, but knows this book right here. I mean, that's the important thing, that he's well-versed in this. And let me just say something else. I know that, you know, my wife and I, we've looked for places in the past. We still are somewhat right now. And I remember a church that we talked to, we sent a resume to and talked to, and they sent me an email, and the email said this: we've stopped, you know, we looked at your resume and everything, but we're not looking any longer because we're looking for someone with a master's or a doctorate degree. That always kind of hits me, because then I emailed back and I said, you know, I appreciate, you know, that, appreciate you, you know, letting me know. But I also think of the scripture. Most of the people Jesus used were just fishermen. I don't think they had a doctorate in fishing. But they were people that God had prepared and he used. So sometimes we have to be careful. We don't want to become like the Catholics, do we? Now, we want to make sure that the people that we talk about or maybe have pastor our churches are people that are people of the Bible, that God has prepared, and that are God's choice. And so the Pope, I don't know. I don't even know if you can pray for people, you know, that are so far off. But we need to pray that they would just get saved, and that would be the answer to all their needs. The needs of prayer. So let's get into our study this morning. We said this. We said prayer has to do with the entire man. George Mueller made this statement. He said, if prayer is anything, prayer is everything. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the very God of peace, we said there's two peace types of peace in the Bible. There's peace with God, which I believe is what is being used here, and that is the way that leads to peace with God, salvation, the state of a soul because of being right with God. That's salvation. Before we were saved, and I was saved, and my wife actually has my new birth date now, and it was in February 1976, but she actually has the date and down. Before I was saved, I was in a state of having enmity against God. I didn't know it. In my life, I just was doing everything I wanted to do. I had been Catholic, raised in the Catholic Church, stopped going to the Catholic Church. Didn't have anything to do with spiritual things. And then someone approached me, gave me the gospel in a house of a friend of mine, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I became right with God. Before, I was in enmity with God, and then I became right with God through salvation and received the peace with God. It goes on and says, sanctify you wholly, to render sanctified, to separate from that which is profane, and to dedicate, be dedicated to God. And it says in whole, complete, in all of its parts. And I think this is probably where we basically ended. And it talks about the spirit, the body, and the soul completely preserved. Literally means to attend to carefully, take care of, blameless. So there is no cause for censor. And then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, until that coming. It takes the whole man to pray. And why that's so important is because prayer affects the entire man in its results. You know, sometimes when we pray, and like I said, praying through the prayer list and praying for others, we have no idea how that's going to affect what God's going to do. It's the same with our witness. And sometimes we, at work, maybe we witness or we live the Christian life in such a way that we're maybe the only lighthouse in that workplace. And sometimes we go, you know, I do this day after day after day, and it doesn't seem to appear that any result, that there's no results I can see. But we can never underestimate what God's doing in someone's life. We have no idea how God is using that which he has allowed us the privilege to do, how he's using that in other people's lives. E.M. Bounds wrote this. He said, "The men of olden times who wrought well in prayer, who brought the largest things to pass, who moved God to do great things, were those who were entirely given over to God in their praying. God wants and must have all that there is in man in answering his prayers. He must have wholehearted men through whom to work out his purposes and plans concerning men. God must have men in their entirety. No double-minded man need apply. No vacillating man can be used. No man with a divided allegiance to God and the world and self can do the praying that is needed." He doesn't say they ought not to pray, but the prayer that's needed is going to come from men and women who do not have a divided allegiance to God. And so prayer, it takes the whole man to pray, and prayer affects the entire man in its results. Holiness is wholeness. And so God wants holy men, men wholehearted and true for his service and for the work of praying. 1 Timothy, look at chapter 2 and verse 1 through 8. Paul gives instructions to Timothy on prayer. He says this, he says, "I exhort therefore that first of all," now he's giving this to Timothy, but in application it's for all that read this, "supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Now, we have a prayer list. I'm not saying all men are written on that prayer list, but there's a lot of prayer requests on there. And Paul exhorts Timothy, first of all, to make these supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. That's a good place to start. He says, "For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." We need to be praying for our kings, even the one who thinks he's a king, who is president of our country. But if we want a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty, and we want to live a biblical type life, we need to be praying for those in authority, because these rights and privileges are slipping away. And we don't live in countries around the globe where in the past you had to secretly meet like we're meeting today. And if you were caught meeting like this, you would be arrested. If you would be caught having a portion of this scripture, you'd be arrested. Now, in our country, there are places all over. One that the senior saints have visited up in Oshkosh and helped put together scriptures. We're printing the Bible. In other countries, people were arrested for that. And so we need to be praying for the leadership in our country that that would never take place. Well, this is what he prays to Timothy about, or tells Timothy to be praying about. For this is good, verse 3, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Praying, Timothy, for all men to be saved. A lot of praying to be done there. Preparation. Getting that soil prepared that the gospel might come and find a place in the hearts of those men and women and boys and girls. Verse 5, for there is one God and the mediator between God and man, amen, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and verity, or truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I still remember in services when my wife and I were in Bible college, and there would be revival services. Every fall there was a revival meeting. In the spring there was a Bible conference. And I remember the president who was considered an old war horse. I mean, he was head of the CBA for 30 years, planted churches all across the country. And I still remember him talking about planting churches, how they'd come into a town, they'd have people that wanted a church. They'd go out to farmers around the city limits or town limits, and he'd go up to a farmer and say, we want to start a church in this town. Will you donate some land to start a church? And the man would say, sure, I'll donate some land. And they'd start a church, and that's how he started churches. And I remember him as he would pray at the end of some of these meetings, you'd see him as he's praying, and he'd hold one of his arms up, as they say here. As he would pray God's blessing on that service and the people that had made decisions, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so the Apostle Paul gives some instruction to Timothy in how to pray. He says, it is man, and not the Apostle Paul, but it is man's business to pray. It takes manly men to do it. It takes godly men to do it. Now, why should prayer be important to our everyday lives? You know, they say that prayer is probably one of the things that we lack doing the most. The other is Bible reading. And can you think of two things we don't need most? We need those things. But the devil in some way convinces us we just don't have time or we don't need that. Those are two things that we need the most. Why should it be important? Prayer is intense and profound. Why? It deals with God's plans. You know, when we plan to do something like a vacation, now my wife and I, we don't go on a lot of vacations. In fact, we were thinking back when we went our last vacation, which was in, I think, 1996. It's a few years ago. When you plan a vacation, think of all the planning that goes in. I mean, we get out maps. We get out, where we're going to stay. And, of course, now with the internet, maybe it takes less time. But it used to be, I mean, a lot of time would go in, you know, getting our finances, what we're going to use it, and all these things. And so much planning goes in. Well, you know that when we pray, it deals with God's plans. God's plans are so much more important than ours. God's plans has to deal with his mission for the world. What his plan is, not only for our lives, but for the lives of everyone in this planet, on this planet. That's how important it is. It deals with God's purpose. What is God's purpose? Well, I can boil it down, and this is maybe simplistic, but in the past, churches have been unbalanced. In the 80s, there were soul-winning churches where all they did was bring more people into the church, but they never spent time teaching them the Bible. I just make sure that isn't one of my pages. They never spent time teaching the Word of God to those people. We went to a church like that in Kansas, and they had run 1,000 people, and they had 250 when we came. And I asked someone, I said, what happened to the other 750 people? Well, they weren't there anymore. Because all they did was bring new people in, and they never taught the people that were there. And so they taught basically the people that came how to bring someone else in, instead of how to live a godly life and be what God wants them to be. And they were gone. And then there were those churches that all they did was teach the Bible and never reached out to anyone. And they had a group of people, and sometimes they would say, we don't want anybody because nobody is going to be godly like us. And so they just had their little group and taught the Bible. All unbalanced. You know what I think that God's purpose is for our lives? Is that we would bring honor and glory to him. And it involves a lot of things. And we find them all in the book. All those things that God wants us to do. And all those things ought to be that we bring honor and glory to him. It deals with men's characters. That's why prayer is so important. When someone says you're quite a character, that isn't always good. Okay? That isn't always good. Unless you are God's character at the same time. You know, we need to pray that men's characters become more godly than they are. We need to pray that our own character becomes what God desires and has a purpose for our life. It deals with the world's destiny. That's why missions is so important. That's why God has that in the Great Commission as a command that we seek to reach the world. There's missionaries from this church that this church supports and prays for that is trying to change the lives of people around the world. You know, and that's another thing we need on our prayer list is our missionaries, because these people have answered God's call to go to another place and do what's being done here. Trying to reach people and change the world's destiny. You know who else is changing the world's destiny? The Muslim community. You know that they say that in Europe, in some places, they are taking over complete neighborhoods and they're not assimilating into the country. They're making their own country. Prayer is so important because it deals with our own personal lives. If you want to become more of what God wants you to be, you need to be praying that God would allow you to say yes to him and no to the world. To say yes to the Word of God and what God wants in our life and no to the things that are the pleasures of this world that we live in, which is difficult. Prayer is important because it deals with our families. You know, we don't have young children anymore. Our youngest is 26. And I remember when they were young. You know, sometimes, you know, like I do with our new little puppy, you know, it's frustrating and we sometimes we get to the limit. But do you know that we need to be praying, because prayer deals with the future of our families, our children, what God's going to do in their lives, how God's going to use them, what God is going to make them into. A servant that loves the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be our desire. And it has to do with prayer. Our families, and then last on my list, and there's probably many more, it's important because it deals with our churches. What is our church going to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, our time is up, but let me end with this. We were in a church one time in Rantoul, Illinois. Maranatha Baptist Church. We were called to that church, and it was a ministry that was a, and I maybe mentioned it, it was a military church. And then the base closed there, the Air Force base, and there weren't that many people left. And in that church was such potential for what God could do. Even with the base closed, and they had a lot of people at one time, there were people there that needed the Bible to be taught to them. There were people in that town, and we had gotten, and I don't know if you remember, in school, what they used to print things on, with the stuff that really smelled. We got one of those machines, and then I got an old printing press from someone that, I mean, every time I used it, I was ink covered. We tried to print things to hand out. We went out in the community, tried to reach out. Such potential there. And yet there was a man in the church that, there was a lot of family involved in the church, in fact, a large family. And this man, number one, he wasn't interested in God's direction in his life. And eventually, he got to the place where, and I maybe next week I can tell this story, but he got to the place where he didn't like someone telling him what to do. And it wasn't really telling him what to do. It was just trying to give direction because he taught a Bible class. And he called his family. There are people there that Sunday that hadn't ever been in church since I'd been there. And his family members that hardly ever came, and they took a vote and voted us out. And that church had such struggles. Such potential. People that wanted to learn about the Bible, and yet someone stepped in and said, no, we're going to just kind of destroy all that. Prayer is so important because we need to be praying for our churches, and especially our church, that God would continue to always use it to bring honor and glory to Him. Well, we've run out of time. I trust that.